Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode.
We're calling this episode the Detroit Lions Superfan. Now, to be fully transparent, that's a name I gave each of these three interviewees, and I didn't really know what to expect when I started out with this story. I had met each of these three fans before, but it was a short conversation at a tailgate with one fan, and the other two, we met ever so briefly in passing. You may have seen some of them on social media, at tailgates, before the games, and around the stadium. So what makes someone a superfan? We'll find out about that, where their fandom started, and hear about some of their amazing experiences along the way. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Corey Schlesinger, and you are listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Joining me first is Lions fan Gary Campione. He won the Detroit Biggest Fan Contest in 2022.
What a great time to be a Lions fan. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I've been dressing up for a while now, you know, and your kids watch you leave the house on game day, you know, and you're like, and even one year, I thought I was going to lose my son, man. You know what? And that might've been Dan Campbell's first year. You know, we just weren't winning. You know, I don't think we didn't win until week 11.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough, you know, but you boot up, you put the boots on, you know, and you go. And sometimes you're like, man, it'd be easier not to wear all this.
Well, first off, I want to make sure that you agree. These are your words, not mine, but you would decide, yes. You would describe yourself as a Detroit Lions super fan, correct?
Yes, correct. Yes.
And what is it that puts you into this category of being a super fan? Because there are decades of diehard Lions fans out there.
You know what? There are so many Lions fans out there. And I mean, I'll label myself super fan, I guess, just by the crowd I hang out with. But I'm just another knucklehead. really. I mean, are there bigger fans than me? Yes. But I won the Detroit Biggest Fan contest a year ago. So in 2022. First, I was up against four other Detroit Lions fans. And when I won Lions Biggest Fan, then I was up against the biggest Red Wings fan and Tigers fan for the overall Detroit biggest sports fan. And when I was trying to win that one, and I did win that one as well, but I was going on Lions message boards and just saying, hey, man, would you vote for another Lions fan? I'm in this contest. Well, why do you think you're the biggest fan? And welcome, you know, I was up late every night replying to anybody and everybody. If they commented, I'm replying to them, you know, and awesome. Sometimes it's real negative. And I'm like, Jack, you big jokester, miss seeing you, man. Let's get a drink soon. You know, that way if somebody else reads it, they'll think he was screwing with me, you know, but some of them were like brutal. And I'm like, man, I said, there's so many bigger fans than me. I said, I'm not the biggest fan. I want a contest.
And the thing is there's enough room for all the fans. That's the great thing about this. It's not, are you the biggest?
Seriously. Yeah, they can pack a bunch of us in there. So
that they can. So take me back. And how and where did this love for the Lions all start, and how did this evolve into super fandom?
Well, you know what? I grew up in the UP, and really it was just, I think, at a young age, you know, you watch a little bit of sports on TV. In the UP, it was mostly Packer country. You know, we were just a couple hours from Green Bay. You know, I grew up kind of a Lions fan, we didn't get to watch him very much on TV. But then when I went to college, I went to Northern Michigan, met another group of guys that, hey, Sunday afternoon, what are you guys doing? Let's watch a game. You know, and those guys are still my best friends today. And three of them are brothers. And then we had another guy kind of join us, and we'd kind of start like doing a road trip each year, hit a few home games if we can, hit a road game though, just to kind of get us all together. You know, we were kind of scattered in the country at that point. Let's pick a town somewhere warm, maybe, because you know, Michigan, you know, it's cold in Michigan in the winter. So, you know, let's go somewhere warm. And that just was a way for us to get together and meet up. And then really one year we were in Carolina and met these fans the day before the game. They hung out with us. We talked to them for a long time, invited us to their tailgate the next day. And that tailgate the next day, a lot of them were like dressed up in like characters. I kind of describe it as a Panther Avenger type thing, you know, where they're like Panther superheroes and they had the Panther Predator. But they were just, you know, no, we don't want your money. No, you guys are our guests at our tailgate. You're our guests. Eat, drink, have fun. It's all about fellowship, football, friendship. And we're like, well, can we do this back home? Can we bring some of this back? And there was already people in you know, Detroit dressing up, but we weren't really at that level yet. And a couple weeks later, my buddy calls going, hey, I got an Elvis outfit. I'm Detroit Elvis. Figure it out.
Well, and you know, I love it because you've got the Macho Man outfit.
Macho
and,
Man, yeah.
You know, being someone of the same era here, I loved watching him as a kid. And I actually dressed up as Macho Man for Halloween once. So I really appreciate your costume.
Well, you know what? It was so fun creating it. And you learn a lot. Like, okay, spray paint doesn't adhere to leather. You know, so you go, okay, we have to go to Joanne's Fabrics and Michael's to get some craft paint, leather paint. And, you know, three jackets later and four hats later. And, you know, it's evolved. Definitely.
Awesome. Yeah, and so tell me then, you've been a Lions fan for a long time. I give you a lot of credit for being a Lions fan in the Western UP area. Well, you're not the majority in that population.
No. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And right. Yeah. Western UP, grew up right near Houghton and Dollar Bay. And definitely it's 89% Packer country, you know. And I'll tell you what, though, the Lions fans up there, finally, I'm so happy for the few posts I see from friends. It's been a good year to be a Lions fan for sure. Even just, you know, walking around like Meijer today, doing a little bit of grocery shopping and hey, go Lions. I see hats and jerseys and people wearing NFC champion stuff already. And my wife ordered me my hat Christmas morning.
Nice. You know?
She goes, hey, they got the hats out. Like, let's get one, you know? And so boom.
So, Gary, are you now closer to the Detroit area than you were from the UP? Do you have a shorter driving distance?
I do. I'm 63.7 miles away. I got a sign in my Lions Den. So I'm in the Flint area right now. Yeah, so I've been in the Flint area about the last 27 years or so.
All right, and then I take it you're a Lions season ticket holder at this point as well?
Yeah, Lions season ticket holder as well. Great time. My wife comes to almost every game with me now. So got her a ticket this year. I won the contest last year. So I was given, I won season tickets. And then so I was giving mine away. And then she started coming with me. You know, we had really nice lower bowl seats. Thank you, Comerica Bank. You know, and she kind of got the bug. And really, but what got her was, you know, it was the fans. You know, it was the fans seeing their love for the Lions, I think. And it's like, oh, what is this all about? You know, and it's, you know, it's contagious. You know,
you talk about that with the fellowship, you know, that the Denver, you know, you and I crossed paths before the season opener this year. I was down there with my family, got our photo taken together. And then we chatted briefly when I went to that Lions tailgate for a lot of the super fans before the Denver game, with it being an 8 p.m. game on a Saturday. There was a lot of time to tailgate, and we had ridiculously great tailgating weather for December in Detroit.
Oh, it was so nice in Detroit that night.
And so, you know, you talk about, you see that fellowship you're talking about. You see the fun. Yeah. And there were even Bronco fans at that tailgate, and everybody was having a great time.
Yes. Experienced the same exact thing that day. You know, but that's what it's about. It's not about boo, you're Broncos fans, get out of here. It's hey, come on over, join us. You know, there's enough to go around, you know, and it's been fun because we then experience that when we go away to other cities.
It's great going to the Lions game at home and seeing that place packed, especially this year with so many fans there. But there is a unique thing about going to a road game for the Lions. You know, I experienced it out in Baltimore this year. I've experienced it in the past, but never like this year, because there are more Lions fans traveling to road games than ever before. And so what are some of those experiences been like for you this year?
I'll tell you, this year we went to Tampa and it was unreal. We were heading over to find our friends, the other Detroit super fan tailgate that, you know, that's my crew of people. We couldn't even get to them because we just started finding fans along the way that, hey, stop. Are you guys hungry? You want a picture? So many Lions fans were down there. They either came down to see their parents who've moved to Florida, or they were just like us, like, hey, Lions are playing in Tampa. What better place to go watch a football game? Cause it's warm.
Right.
But it was a sea of blue. So much friendship happening outside, fandom happening outside. Even one of the nicest groups of people we met were Tampa fans. They had their Tampa van, Tampa trailer, Tampa pop-up tents, and they're like, come on over. Well, but they were playing Detroit's favorite son's music, you know, Kid Rock. They're like, they know, they get it, you know. But even then inside, nobody wanted to leave. Like in the corridors, we're bouncing. We were all just bouncing up and down. And it was amazing. Like nobody wanted to leave that feeling. Like it was a high, definitely. And it felt like we did something magical that night. Like, and it was just another away game. But there were so many of those away games, I think we got used to losing. And we know after the end of last year, there was something really special about this year's team. And something spot, you could feel it. And then, I mean, there's going to be disappointments. Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's back up a minute then. The years, what are some of your greatest memories being a Detroit Lions fan?
Oh, you know what? Wow. So many. But I would say the biggest, I got invited by the Lions to go to the draft in Cleveland. I guess that would have been 2021. It was so great to be like, oh, my God, they know my name. They know who I am. They have my phone number, you know, and it was great to be down there in Cleveland for that. Man, we lost our voices. But then you're hanging out with people who now are some of my closest friends, you know, because they compiled a bunch of Lions fans. Some of us were close friends at that point already. Some were on a first name basis. Some really didn't know each other that well. All of a sudden you're together for 3 days and you're in a hotel and you're eating meals together. And it was just something special, you know? And so things like that, I mean, there's nothing like football that brings people together. And you know, and I think we even knew there was something on the horizon. I mean, that year, you know, look at who we're picking in the draft, you know, and Amon-Ra, St. Brown. I mean, it's crazy stuff, you know? I think that's the year we got Penei Sewell. And then all of a sudden, we've been building year after year. And Cleveland, that's probably one of my biggest times. But I've had some cool experiences. I really have.
And so you talk about going to the Cleveland draft. Draft is coming home this year. I mean, what are your thoughts looking forward to that?
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait for the next one in Detroit. I'm going to make it to part of this one. I already had my rooms reserved down there. My wife and I'll be down there the first day of the draft, Thursday night, for the first rounder. And then awesome. my son and his bride to be are getting married that weekend. So extra special weekend for us then. So we add a daughter to our family. Great, great young lady. And we get to see the Detroit Lions really make some huge moves. So it's going to be, gosh, we'll probably start pre-partying Wednesday night and then Thursday and then Friday and then Saturday.
Sunday, that's going to be quite the weekend, like the 5 to 6 day weekend for you guys. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So that's normal for us though. I mean, we tend to roll pretty hard.
So looking back at the Lions franchise, some of the moments that they have had, some of the plays, the games, do you have one or two memories that stick out that were just like, man, this was pretty phenomenal. This made my day as a fan.
You know what? Some people would just think this is the silliest, but you might remember the name Zach Zetter, running back we had a few years back in the Matt Stafford era. I just liked watching him play. And I always thought he played with heart. You know, what's it take to win a football game? Boy, if he was a part of this team now, man, that would have been a nice addition, because I think he would have loved to have played for Dan Campbell. And Dan would have made him a better player. But got to meet him at one of the training camps. So little things like that. I mean, I've gotten to know Herman more just by doing some things with him. You know, I've gotten to meet him, and I've gotten to do some pretty fun things, and none of it I take for granted. And so going to a game on game day, boy, you really try. Like when you said you met me and we took pictures, you try to take pictures with everybody. But then there's times you're like, oh, shoot, we got to get into the stadium. And people are still stopping you. Or I'll always say no, I'm in the bathroom. So if you're listening, I'm not going to take a selfie in the bathroom with you. I'll tell you, I'll wait out in the hall for you. But you know what?
You got to put boundaries on there somewhere.
Got to have some boundaries. One of the rules in our kitchen at home here upstairs is don't make it weird.
Awesome. You know, now you talked about you've had some very special experiences. If I'm not mistaken, I was watching the pregame on Christmas Eve before the Lions, and Fox Sports did a Christmas special, and I believe you were in it.
Yeah, you know what? Talk about how do you pick the best memory of all time? I've had a few news people at my house over the years, and I've gotten to do some. I was on a news spot on week one and another one on week four with Fox Sports. Tuesday night or Tuesday afternoon, Connor from LA is calling going, hey, we're going to be in town doing a spot. Are you interested? And I said, yes. He's like, well, I haven't told you anything yet. And I said, no, the answer is yes. So whatever you need me to do, I'll make happen. You know, and then it was, okay, coming home and telling your wife that, hey, you know, sometimes you have friends over and you got to clean the house.
Yeah.
Well, we're having America over, and America's coming over. And maybe a few other countries that you know, Fox streams to. They're all coming over, Dion. So how do you feel about that?
Nice. Yeah, that's a pretty fun experience, a very unique one as well.
Yeah, and something I was able to share with our close friends, you know, brother-in-law and his wife and family, and then buddy of mine and you know, his wife and their daughter, and they got the girls got some airtime. I was like, make me look cool and try to get the girls in here too, just to try to, you know, yeah, that's all I cared. It was fun. I was like, hey, try to make me look cool, because, you know, I'm not in character. I'm just normal guy.
Now, I hear you there. And I got to say, I love the positive vibe, the positive attitude that you exude. And so one might ask, being a Lions fan and having many down years with a few highlights sprinkled in between, how is it that you just continue to be that positive, optimistic person?
Well, you know what? Hey, you take your kids to the Little League and they lose six games in a row. Do you still go and cheer on the seventh game? Well, you do, because they're your family, right? They're your kids. I really feel that way about the Lions. I think I always have. You're a Lions fan? Like, even start of the season, one of the ladies at work got a little, you know, snooky with me, you know, a little snarky with me. Oh, they won. I said, well, I don't know if you watched last night, but we did beat the Super Bowl champions, the reigning Super Bowl champs. Well, you got lucky. Yeah, okay, well, let's see what happens in week two. Let's see what happens in week three. Then I'd like try to roll by her office, you know, just go out of my way a little bit after a win. Hey, how you doing? And rub in her face a little bit. But yeah, you know what? You just try not to give up on them. And after a while, you got so much invested in it, you know?
I hear you.
Christmas morning, every gift I'm opening is personalized. My son got me a pint glass, Macho Mane on it, you know, Lions pint glass. My wife got me a coffee mug, you know, my kids got me stuff. And I'm like, boy, this would be a really sad Christmas morning if the Vikings would have pulled it off.
Yeah, that definitely helped. It was much better this year than a year ago.
Thank you, Dan Campbell. Thank you, Sheila Ford. Thank you, Brad Holmes.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit then. You know, the Lions, you know, they've had some heartbreak over the years, and we've experienced some heartbreak moments. Probably too many to go into. Was there one or two in the past that were like just the crushing moments before we get into the uplifting stuff?
You know, or those times when we were so close, where you wanted it so bad for Megatron, you know, for Barry would have been just wonderful to give him that. So glad he's, you know, with the team now and seeing it happen. Man, you'd have loved it for him. And yeah, you know, Matt Stafford might even get a playoff game in Detroit.
That would be, I think, ironic and poetic and all wrapped together.
It would. And I'm going to tell you what, not scared. Did I love Matt Stafford? Yeah. Do I still watch him play every game? No, because he's not on my team. Was there that first game he's with the Rams? Did we tune in and watch? Yeah. Because, you know, you wanted to see your boy. You know, do I still have my number 9 jerseys upstairs in the closet? Well, yeah, I didn't throw them away yet. You know, maybe he'll come back and retire a Lion for one day. Maybe they'll give him a 1-day contract and he'll retire here. But I'll tell you, my quarterback's number 16 and got a chance to meet him 2 years ago. And my wife wanted to take him home. What a nice young man.
I love hearing that because, you know, I was a huge Stafford fan when we had Stafford as our quarterback through his imperfections, because no quarterback's perfect, but he was amazing. And, you know, the moment that Jared Goff endeared to me, because when the trade happened, you're sad, but you understand. But the moment that all changed was when Jared Goff completed the pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and when Goff and Campbell embraced in that victory. I was all bought in.
I can see that too. I'm picturing it right now. And yeah, because you could see they already had some chemistry together. And then even after this last one, he's embracing Taylor Decker after the game and kind of like patting him on the helmet. Decker's bled here. He's broken bone. I mean, these guys leave it all on the field. And when I mentioned Zach Jenner before, I loved him because you could see he played with heart. So many of the guys we have, they all are playing with heart right now. We've always had a few good players, and they're in a team. Now we've got a team of guys that are just, every one of them is making plays and making moves. And if they're not catching the ball, J-Mo, he's blocking for someone. And you're seeing them doing this week after week now, and they bought in.
Well, so let me ask you that then. We saw the change start when Sheila hired Brad and Dan. And also, but before that, hired Chris Spielman, that's the one jersey
to that list. Yes.
Yeah, that's the one jersey I had as a kid growing up was the Spielman jersey in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like loving seeing the full circle of him coming back. But those four people combined, along with some other help, there has been such a dramatic shift in the culture. What have you seen from the fan perspective of the change in the last 2.5 to 3 years?
You know what? Our fans are so fickle. I'll tell you what. We can win 7 games in a row and then lose one. Well, he better go. Let's get rid of him. What's he even doing here? You know, I'm like, come on, guys. You know, but with the solid fans that have been around a while, they've been watching this happen and they understand it's a process. And the Lions have always made the same mistakes over the years when they were SOL. They bring in a high dollar somebody. And that was going to be the playmaker. Well, one guy we found couldn't carry a team. And what they've done is they've built in the draft. They brought in some veterans here and there. And I really think when you sit back and you analyze it, and I don't even have the best football brain, so I love listening to podcasts like yours and get out and like listen to Woodward Sports a little bit. Maybe I'll tune into the Ticket, 97.1.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, it's fun to hear all these different analyzers and what their thoughts are on things. And you've definitely been watching it. Brad Holmes has been playing chess. He's been putting the right pieces on the board. You know, that was the coolest line I heard from Teddy Bridgewater, because they interviewed him when he came to Detroit. And he's like, oh, yeah, played under Dan in New Orleans. He's like, yeah. And he tells you, he goes, boy, that tight end room, they would run through a wall for him.
Well, and that right there shows all different levels of the organization, how they got them right. And, you know, I just brought up on my most recent episode how Brad Holmes, being a former scout, now being a GM, just helps our drafting so much more. And then Dan Campbell, not just being a former player, but I honestly believe being the human being that he is makes that team. Because, you know, no matter what walk of life somebody is in, you know, if you have a boss, some bosses get more out of people and some get less. And Dan gets the most out of all humans, I believe.
Oh, he really does. Because when you have a good boss, man, you want to bleed for him. You know, you just want to go out there and not just give it your all. You want to give it your all and then some. And you want to impress him. Because it's not because you're whatever. You don't even need the accolades, the attaboys. I want to show him I can do it. You know, he believes in me. He brought me here, you know? And I think you see that with a lot of our players right now.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, but I think I already know the answer, having talked to you here for a little bit, is the hype train was going crazy before the season started. And I wanted to know, were you on that hype train? It seems to me you were on that because you've been a big believer in what they've been building.
Oh, I was definitely on the hype train. And, do you even like think about the last game we won of last season, you know, when we beat the Packers and stopped their train from rolling. And that might have been the turnaround for even our fans, but there were so many fans in Green Bay at that game, you know. And then this year on Thursday Night Football, when there were so many fans that didn't even leave the stadium, they're all filled up the arena behind like the sportscasters, you know, and just showing our team, we're here with you. We got your back. And do you think that helps the players? Oh, you bet.
This season has been like one we haven't experienced since I was a teenager. And even this might be different than that because the way it's built, and even the 2014 season that was 11-5, we knew that things were going to be changing rapidly after that season because of a lot of contracts coming up, where this team we have right now is built differently. How are you feeling going into these final 2 weeks of the season as a super fan and knowing we're going to host our first playoff game at Ford Field ever?
It's like your hand already starts hurting for all the high fives you're giving in the parking lot. You know, it feels so good. It feels so good. And I was thinking like when you're bringing it back to like 1995 and just how the world has changed with social media and the internet. And we are so behind the scenes now that we have access to so much Lions football, the behind the scenes stuff. Even having Hard Knocks come to Detroit was fun. But you really got to see the character too behind in Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. You know, when they bring a guy into the room and then have to let him go. And there's so much we have access to right now that as far as for being a Lions fan, it's just an incredible time.
We don't know how the season's going to wrap up, but we do know the Lions are hosting a game at Ford Field, a playoff game. What are your thoughts about the opportunity to attend a home playoff game for the first time since the Lions have moved into Ford Field?
Man, I know my phone's going to be blown up like, hey, do you want to sell your tickets? Nope. We will be there with bells on. You know what? It's crazy, you know, and so exciting, you know, and even like, you know, it's so good for our fans. You know, thank you, Detroit Lions, for winning, because our fans needed it. You know, so many fans, I hopped off that train years ago. I gave up my season tickets years ago. I've stopped watching them when Barry, you know, and you hear all these people and their bitter, bitter stories, and I get it. You know, I get it. But come on back. Come on back. Remember what it was like when you were a kid. Find that passion again. There's room for you. Room for you on the hype train.
I said a little while back that if and when the Lions ever get to the Super Bowl, those are going to probably be the most expensive Super Bowl tickets ever because the demand will be so high for them.
I know. I know. And you know what? And I know where I'll be watching it right here, right at home. Would I love to be at that game? Yes. Detroit Lions, if you're listening, you got an extra ticket. Hey, I will be there with bells on. But God, boy, you'd have to. It'd be more than a house payment. You'd have to like refi. Not my budget. But yeah. But would we all probably go there anyway and just tailgate? Yes. Hear us from the outside, you know? Woo! Yeah, you'd want to be a part of that. Yeah, just that excitement.
Yeah, and you know what? This season, I think you would consider, you tell me, you consider this a season of success no matter what happens here on out?
You know what? Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't say that. You couldn't say otherwise. I mean, any given Sunday, anything can happen. You know, there's two teams. They go out there. They play hard. You just hope your team ends out on top. You do. You hope we come back with the victory every week after week. Right now, it's been a success. Kings of the North, We finally brought that championship home. We needed it. We can finally put a new sign in the back of the auditorium and for, you know, in the practice field, you know, NFC champs 2023, drop a new banner. The team has always, you know, we're not looking at playoffs yet. We're only focused on week 10. No, we're only focused on week 11. It was fun to look back at that video in Dan Campbell's speech on September 1, because even though he's telling us we're only looking one game ahead, they were watching, you know, 16 weeks out.
I want to ask you, is there anything else you'd like to share about yourself, about being a fan of the Detroit Lions, or anything about the Lions in general that I haven't asked you yet?
You know what? It's a little corny, but my four other guys, five guys, we decided if we're going to travel, dress up, we needed names. We became the Blue Man Group. You know, there was the Blue Man Group where we dropped an E on it, like Macho Man. We were the Blue Man Group. And so just want to give a shout out to them. They're great guys. Tim and Matt and Chris and Jeff, our buddy Daryl, our tailgate friends. So many great fans in Detroit that, like, I think of great fans in Detroit. I think of, like, Ron Crackman, you know, Ron Cracciola. You know, he's the bib wearing, hard hat, you know, wearing, who loves you, baby guy. He's our mentor. He's why we all do this. He started it. You know, he's the original godfather of superfans. And he still shows up week after week and puts the boots on through the great years and the bad years. And there's been a lot of bad years, right? So he's still here. I want the win so bad for him. For the fans like him that still believe. They haven't hopped off the bus. They're still there. But like we said, man, and I think you agree, there's room on the bus. Come on, people, come on back. Because it's fun to see him get excited again. You know, you'll hear people say, well, you know, I used to watch him with my dad. Well, why'd you stop? Well, you know, they weren't so good. Well, you know what? Come on back. There's something special happening. Come on back.
That's awesome. And, you know, you told me about the Macho Man, Macho Main, but you didn't, yeah. I know, I kind of shared with my story as well, but I didn't hear, how did you settle on that as your inspiration?
God, I don't know. I guess, you know, I went to like 80s wrestlers in my head, you know, and I'm not built like a wrestler for sure. I'm just a little guy, but I'll tell you what, you start thinking of like the name things, you know, and like Chris's Lionheart based off Braveheart, Matt with Detroit Elvis. That kind of was cool. And I was like, oh, Macho Man, Macho Man. Oh, that kind of has a ring to it.
Very nice.
You know, and then after I got like a personalized jersey for my wife, you know, when I turned 50, I was like, well, I guess that name's still gonna, I guess we'll keep it, you know, I guess it's gonna stick. So it's been fun. It's been great. Sorry if anybody listening, if I didn't take a picture with you in the bathroom, I was waiting out in the hall for you.
Awesome. Yes. But if you do see Gary, if you see the Macho Man out walking outside the stadium, walking through the stadium,
stop more and than say happy hi. I'd love to say hey to you. You know what? And just sharing some Lions fandom. You know, hey, we got something to be excited about. We really do.
And here's our next interview.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Joining me today is Megan Stefanski. Megan's from the Eastern UP, a season ticket holder, a tailgate organizer, a charity fundraiser, and a steadfast supporter of the Detroit Lions. Megan, is there anything I've left out that I need to add to all those titles?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's an honor to have you on the show. And first off, I just want to see if your words match mine. I would describe you as a Detroit Lions super fan. Would you just describe yourself as such?
I guess. I never use the word super fan just because I feel like we're all fans and one isn't better than another. But I mean, yeah.
Well, and I like that because it feels like there isn't, if you're a super fan or a big fan, it's not an exclusive category. It's everybody's a fan and nobody is feeling like they're out fandoming somebody else. They're just showing their love for the football team.
Right. Yep.
Well, what is it that puts you in this category of being such a big Lions fan? What makes you such a big Lions fan?
Probably most people would feel it's because I attend every game. But I don't really feel there's much more making me a fan because I attend every game in person versus watching it on TV. Everyone has their preference. I just love the excitement of being there. That's me.
All right. Well, take me back. You know, I did see the piece by Tom Rinaldi before Thanksgiving. So I know a little bit about your story. I don't know that every person listening has seen that piece, but where did this love for the Detroit Lions all begin for you?
From my my dad. My dad was a huge, huge fan. I grew up as a child watching all the games on TV, obviously. Like most people my age, I became a huge hardcore fan because of Barry Sanders. I was 10, his first season playing. The year I was 14, my mom purchased season tickets for him. We used to attend games like once a year or so. Once he had season tickets, I mean, I didn't attend a lot of games. I was young, maybe two or three a year as a family. High school, a few more. My brother attended more than I did back then. I played high school sports, stuff like that. College started getting more. And then once I graduated college and I was back home is when I really started attending more games with him. I was, you know, able to then. I had a job. I attended home games more. The away games started later.
All right, well, let's start with those home games because for you, it's not an easy trip. I mean, I think I saw it's like 365 miles to get right to Ford Field. So that takes some extra dedication that, like, I grew up in Grand Rapids. So getting there 2.5 hours seems probably like nothing. So what type of dedication does that take or what type of planning does it take?
So I typically work on Saturdays at Uberman's. So I come in early about 8 or 9 a.m. and start prepping the tailgate food, getting that all ready. And then I work until usually 6 or 7 p.m. I try to go to sleep. I get up about 1 a.m., go back, get the tailgating food and everything. And I try to leave by 2:30 in the morning, make it to Eastern Market by 7:30. I typically bring three others with me from the UP. When I arrive at Eastern Market about 7:30, I set up the tailgate, get everything going, then head into the game. Then I usually make it home about 10:30, 11 p.m., depending on the weather.
All right. So that's dedication right there, because it's not just, you know, and again, no level of dedication is judged here, but the amount of effort that it takes for you to get through all these experiences and do all this takes a lot of time and energy.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I haven't missed a home game in a decade. Last time I missed, I had the flu, so I was forced to miss a game. But I've been doing it a long time.
Bring me back then. What are some of your greatest memories of being a Lions fan?
There are so many. I mean, of course, there's, you know, different games stand out. Usually heartbreaks, honestly. I mean, I feel like as Lions fans, we all have heartbreaks.
That question's coming up later. Well, we can get to those. But let's look at those happy ones first.
The happy moments are the people. Sorry, and my voice is still kind of gone from this weekend. Well, since September, it's been gone, let's be honest. But it's the people. The people you meet along the way. I feel like I have an entire family just from attending games, and not just Lions fans. I have friends at every team. I've always stood by the whole football is family thing, and it's the relationships that make it so great.
That's awesome. And that's, you know, I've heard that from other fans as well, is just the connecting with people. I attended one of your tailgates for the first time before the Denver game because, you know, I've got a little bit of a drive myself, and being on a Saturday, it made it ideal to get down there early because it wasn't a 1 o'clock kickoff. And, you know, there were Broncos fans there and Lions fans there. And I just, the positive environment and everybody was welcomed. How did the tailgating come about?
The tailgating came about just, you meet new people and then you join in with them. I'm actually a member of the Tailgating Hall of Fame, where we join up with other tailgating groups from other teams. I'm also a member of PFUFA, Pro Football's Ultimate Fan Association. And that's just how you make friends from other teams. Like, I was in Minnesota this weekend. I stayed with my Viking friends. I got seats with my Viking friends. That's what a lot of people are always like, you know, how can you afford these trips? And it's like, well, you got to plan it out. But staying with friends, getting tickets from friends, that saves a lot. This weekend, I'll be in Dallas staying with my Cowboys friends. You know, having a tailgate, a home away from home, a place to go where people are going to treat you like family. And when the game's over, you're just going to shake hands and be on your way.
Awesome. Well, another thing that it seems to be is a great benefit is you raise money for charity through your fandom. And I saw some of that at the tailgating. Can you please talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So my charity is Hospice of the EUP. It's the only hospice house in the state of Michigan that's completely free. Whether you're there for one day or 100 days, it's an actual home where people receive end-of-life care, but their family is also welcome to stay there. There's bedrooms, there's like a living room if there's children there, there's a full kitchen and living room, everything is taken care of. So my goal every year, I always raise it. I'm a very competitive person, mostly with myself. My goal for this year was 40,000. I have a fundraiser I hold in the UP the second Saturday of July every year, where we raise 25,000 that day. I'm almost a 35 right now. So my tailgates also are all by donation. And I have a lot of help. My friends, you know, they come through for me. Donating food, drinks, all of that kind of stuff. And then, for example, we went, we played in Tampa for their throwback game. So my Tampa friends, What the Buck is their tailgate group, donated $1,976 because of 1976.
Nice.
Last weekend, I was in Minnesota, and we had a meet and greet with like a white elephant Christmas gift exchange. So they split that up. So the Viking World Order gave me $220 towards it. So, I mean, cool. We're all looking out for each other, helping each other raise money for our charities.
That's awesome. Now, if somebody's listening and they're not able to make it to one of your tailgates, is there somewhere they can go online or something they can do to help contribute?
Yeah, they can always look on Facebook or Google Hospice of the EUP, where there'll be a mailing address or a way to donate money. I also, a lot of people just Venmo me too, and I use my Venmo as a way to filter that all into them. Yeah, we're always taking donations for hospice.
Awesome. That's great to hear that you're taking the fandom and you're doing something else with it to try and help benefit other people. Talking about the love for the game, you talked about a lot of the memories are the connecting with other people. Do you have any moments from the Lions on the field that stick out that you remember celebrating or being excited about?
I mean, you know, I feel like this is such a great year. But there were, you know, like what, 2014 when we started 5-0, that was amazing. 2011, that was a great season. So, I mean, there's always like the good memories, good wins, things like that. This year is topping it so far. I love it. I'm having a great time this season.
Yeah, this season, I think, is taking things into a whole different category. Mm-hmm. And but before we get to this season's category, over the years, I presume, in addition to just attending the games, you've had some other experiences as a fan because you've been mm-hmm. so dedicated and you've gotten involved at such a high level. Are there any fun experiences you can share?
I've attended the NFL draft the last several years as a member of the Lions Inner Circle. So that's been amazing, seeing our current players get drafted. It's pretty great to have photos of me with Aiden Hutchison and with J-Mo and as they were just drafted. Brian Branch this year came over and took a selfie with all of us. So that's been exciting.
That's really cool. I presume you're going to go to the draft now that it's coming to Detroit?
Yep, I'll be there.
Cool. That's awesome. So you said you've been attending games. You have only missed one home game in 10 years. So that shows the dedication. Even through the lean years, you continued to attend. How were you feeling? How did you react when the Lions brought in Chris Spielman, when Sheila took over and hired Brad and Dan? Because that was a catalyst for what we're seeing right now. What was your response to all of that?
What I loved about all of that was, and even now, people complain, like, why isn't Brad signing this person? Why aren't they doing this? Brad and Dan have not been secretive about what they're doing. I mean, Sheila either. She straight out said, I am hiring people who know what they're doing. She brought Chris Spielman in. She brought John Dorsey in. They hired Brad and Dan, who said, this is what we're doing. And they've never strayed from it. I mean, if you actually listen to them, they've said all along, this is what we're doing, and they have not changed once. And I love that he brought that up in his press conference yesterday. And the thing that I like about it is not only do they tell you what they're doing, but I feel like if you have the chance to meet either of the two of them, they're the same in person as they are on TV. So right after they were both hired, right after COVID, really, we were going to Cleveland for the draft. And several of us met them. And Brad straight up said, like, this is what I'm planning on doing. We went to the draft. We drafted Panay. We came back and he was, he had just pulled into the parking lot. He was out saying hello to the gardener that day. And he came over to us. And I mean, he straight up was like, this is what I was doing. This was my thoughts. I mean, he's very transparent.
I presume when I say the hype train was going before the season started, you were on that hype train and you believed what was to come.
Mm-hmm. Right. I opted in for my playoff tickets before the season started. I actually, and it's really funny now because it's not available to watch, but before the Kansas City game, I filmed an episode of Emerald Tailgates, Emerald Lagasse, and they did an interview in Kansas City and they said, well, you know, you're probably going to lose this game. And I straight up said, this is it. This is how this season is going to go. And it is. I mean, nobody will see it till it airs next September, but it's pretty much straight out. I'd said, we might even only win by 1 point. We're going to win. And when it happened afterwards, I texted the producer and she's like, oh my gosh, it's like you wrote the script. It's happening.
That is awesome and exciting because, so far the Lions fans I tend to meet and have long conversations with seem to be positive, optimistic people. And it almost seems like that's a trait you generally, need to have sustained being a Lions fan for so long. But what are the positives that you're seeing out of this team that makes it so different than maybe some of the teams of the past?
You don't really see anyone who thinks they're more important than other players. You don't see anyone who thinks they're an all-star. They're all very team oriented. They're all there for each other. You don't ever hear anybody say a bad word about any of the coaches, about Dan. They change the culture there, and I love it. Before you would see players leaving and bad-mouthing Detroit, and now you see some of these players who are left, who left several years ago, who are like, wow, we love seeing what they're doing there. We love the changes because they've all known that the city and the fans deserve this. They just needed the right people in place.
That's awesome. I think one of the perfect examples is Graham Glasgow coming back to Detroit. Mm-hmm. He had left and he came back. And, I think that the story was he was at a wedding of Frank Ragnow's or somebody's. And he's like, I just want to come back and play with you guys.
Mm-hmm. And Reeves Maven too, it's great because they got to be here, leave and come back and see the difference. And I love how Dan is still giving them props as veterans.
So you said you've only missed one home game in 10 years. And now you've told me, though, recently that you've been traveling to games. And I've seen that on social media. And the organization is at a very high level because when I went out to the Baltimore game with some friends, I got to tell you, other than the actual gameplay itself, I had a ridiculously great time out there, met up with so many Lions fans, some who had been down to the Tampa game before, and it was a great experience. So tell me when you started traveling for some of these Lions games.
So starting probably about 2013, 2014, I always went to Green Bay just because it's easier. It's 15 miles closer. And I would usually hit two or three a year. Then starting in about 2018, I would hit five or six a year. So in 2019, I missed two games away. One of them was my dad's funeral was that weekend. And then another in December, I didn't go to Minnesota. 2020, we just pretend doesn't count. 2021, I did miss one away game, and that's the last game I've missed. So since 2018, I've missed three away games.
So how's the experience different for the away games versus the home games?
For me, I like to see other teams' cultures, their tailgating, their traditions. It's also a fun way to watch your team. For me, I don't have to set up a tailgate or anything, so that's great. But I don't know, just being on the road is a whole nother experience, especially like when, we clinched the division. That was amazing. And now that everybody's traveling, it's made it a lot more fun. I love seeing all the fans join us on the road now that we're winning.
Yeah, you know, I think more and more are traveling because the word has gotten out. And I'm also going to say, I think there might be a little bit of a Detroit Red Wings feeling in this too, where Red Wings fans are known to be at away games around the country. And now that the Lions are showing some success, I think you're starting to see that as well.
Yes. And another thing I like to mention is the amount of fans that I've met who live in other cities. Like, you could name a city in, like, for example, this weekend in Dallas, I know a ton of Lions fans that live in Dallas. Some are from there, some are transplants from Michigan. But it's nice going, you know, not necessarily every year. I feel like it with Dallas lately, but fans that live there. And that's great. And it's fun for them to help host things and have people come to their city.
That makes sense. And I agree with the Dallas thing. Can we get Dallas to play in Detroit sometime soon? That would be a nice change. Well, you mentioned your dad as being the big inspiration, and you mentioned missing him a game to attend his funeral. You know, the thing with Tom Rinaldi, I think they showed the seats you have. Are those the seats that you've had since, have those been the seats that you always sit in?
Yeah. So the first year when we moved from the Silverdome, we were in different seats. He didn't really like those. And that's when you didn't know where you were going to be. You know, it was a brand new stadium. And so then when he got to choose the seats we have now, we've been there 20 years now. So, yep, those are the seats right over the tunnel. They're great seats. I'll never move. I could have upgraded. I don't want to. It's going to be a crazy feeling sitting there for the first home playoff game. It's going to be fantastic.
As the regular season for the Lions game is coming to a close and they are going to host their first playoff game ever at Ford Field, we don't know who, when, but what feelings are going through your mind right now thinking about that?
So yesterday I got the email saying that my credit card was charged and immediately I went to the Lions app and there they were. 4 tickets for the first home playoff game. That was an unreal feeling. I mean, there's been time over the years where they're like, oh, we're just going to take this money because there's a chance, you know, it could happen. But this is, I mean, this is for real. And even if that first game doesn't happen, it's going to roll over to the second. And just knowing that I'm attending a game in mid-January at Ford Field is going to be crazy.
That it is. It's extremely exciting. You know, we briefly talked before the Denver game, and obviously the last two games have made a big difference in way things can play out. You know, some Lions fans want to see a certain team, some don't. Do you care? Do you have preferences?
I don't. I mean, do I really want to listen to the media yak about Stafford for the next 3 weeks? I don't. But, you know, it is what it is. Let the cards fall where they may. A lot of people are super worked up about getting a one seed. I am just thrilled to win the North and have a home playoff game. Anything after that is just extra. I mean, we are still in year 3 of probably a 6-year rebuild. And I am ecstatic that we won the North and we have this home playoff game. Part of me wants to see the Seahawks only because of revenge. Part of me wants to take the Vikings or the Packers just to shut them up again. But it doesn't matter to me. I don't care if we have a one seed. I don't care if we have a 2. I don't care if we have a 3. Whoever comes into Ford Field, good luck, because we are a whole new stadium this year. And you attended Saturday night football. And we had Monday night football, and it was loud. It was just as loud as any other stadium I have ever been to, just as loud as US Bank, just as loud as Jerry World. And if we thought it was loud before, I feel bad for anyone who has to play us, because it's going to be crazy in there. Crazy.
Yeah, I attended the Packers game last year when the Lions were 1-6, and there were seats, you know, to be found. But when I attended the season opener this year against Seattle, it was a different stadium. You're exactly right.
Totally different.
And so I'm secretly hoping, not secretly, I'm hoping we can get the 2 seed, because that would mean if we win the first game, we would get a second game at home. Mm-hmm. And that just, you know, I want to go see 2 games. So, so that would be pretty special. Well, you know, the season's wrapping up. We're getting ready for the playoff game at Ford Field, which I'm hoping we can break the sound record on. I know we came really close earlier this year. What would your message be to any Lions fans out there who are maybe finding their Lions fandom for the first time, or they're dusting off that jersey they haven't worn in a few years because they were hesitant to believe in this group?
Right. Welcome back. I mean, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that a lot of people can only take heartbreak for so long and they have to become numb to it. That's just how some people handle it. That's fine. Welcome back. Hop back on the bandwagon. There's also been a lot of people that live in Michigan that have become Packers fans, or they decided to cheer for the Patriots or the Buccaneers because of Brady or so on and so on, and now they're back. And a lot of people get upset if people who claim to be fans of those other teams even just want to say, hey, I'm happy for the Lions. Welcome back. I'm happy. But stop messaging me for playoff tickets. You can be a fan, but quit begging for the playoff tickets. We earn these.
Fair enough. I hear you right there, 100%. Megan, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been so much fun. Thank you for the welcoming at the tailgate, and look forward to meeting up with you guys at the Minnesota game.
Sounds good. It's going to be a good time.
And here's our final interview for the show.
Hi, this is Billy Sims, and you listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Joining me today is Robert Gonzalez, Detroit Lions Fan of the Year for 2023. Would you describe yourself as a Detroit Lions superfan?
Yes. Yes, I would, Matthew. Absolutely.
And what is it you think that puts you into that category?
Well, the outfit plays a big role. You know, not a lot of people, venture that far into their fandom to get all decked out and, you know, put on the war paint and the whole nine yards. But, you know, more than that, I think it's just, you know, the dedication and the loyalty and the longtime fandom.
A lot of people might not know you by your first name, Robert, but they might recognize you by your Lions jersey. You want to tell the Lions a little bit about that?
Yeah, as a super fan, I'm known as Detroit Lion Eyes. That's my super fan name, and that's probably how most people would recognize me.
All right, so take me back. How and where did this love for the Detroit Lions all begin for you?
Okay, well, if we go all the way back, it stretches back. It probably all started, you know, as you get older, the years kind of blur together. But I'd say it probably started in the late 60s, you know, or maybe, yeah, probably 68, 69, 70. And for me, it started with like a love of trading cards. Okay. And I'll tell you, I was a Tiger fan before I was a Lions fan as a kid. So it kind of started with trading cards. You know, you see the players on there, you want to kind of get to know them, you know. As I grew, you know, I noticed that the Lions were always on TV at my house on Sundays. It didn't seem like anybody was watching them, but they were always on. So between the card collecting and then just, you know, kind of watching them on TV, you know, it just kind of grew from there.
How did it evolve into where it is today? You know, what was the big catalyst that got you becoming Lion Eyes, putting on the war paint, as you said, and showing this level of dedication, which is at a different level?
Well, the level of dedication started in the late 80s. I think I went to my first game in 88. And that's, you know, that's when the passion really started. When I entered that stadium and just felt the energy, you know, and the whole scenario being at a game, I just fell in love. So that's what started my passion. In 89, I bought single game seats for every home game. And then finally in 1990, I bought season tickets. So the passion started then. As far as the super fan stuff goes, that probably didn't start. I think Lion Eyes was born around 2010. And that started with a pair of glasses that has two leaping lions on them. And I found those in a box. I was cleaning out a box of stuff from the 80s, you know, just some memorabilia. And I found these glasses. I said, hey, this would be cool to wear to a game. From there, Lion Eyes was born. And it was a slow process. I just didn't put everything on at once and just jumped out there.
That's cool. It sounds like a very natural evolution. And it's impressive. You've been a Lions season ticket holder since 1990. So you went to many games in the Silverdome and then transitioned over to Ford Field. What was that transition like, being such a longtime fan?
Oh, it was, for me, it was wonderful because it was half the distance from my home, you know, and you know, we were back in the city and, you know, Ford Field was new and it was beautiful. And it was a great transition. I love the Silver Dome. Some great, you know, some great times there. But Ford Field, I mean, Silver Dome doesn't compare to Ford Field.
Having been a season ticket holder since 1990, you have seen a number of Lions games and you've had a number of Lions experiences. Can you tell me about some of your greatest memories?
Yeah, the going back to the Silver Dome days. Well, I got to tell you the best. Let me start with the best, because the absolute most incredible game that I ever have gone to was the 91 NFC divisional championship game at Silver Dome against the Cowboys. That stadium was on fire from the moment you walked in until it was over. I mean, I can't even describe the electricity that was in there. Nobody sat down. Nobody sat down the whole game that I can recall. I mean, we stood for 3.5 hours solid, and they had, I think the giveaway was white pom-poms. It was just a sea of white in there. That's my top memory. That game was just, it was so incredible.
I remember that game really well, and it seems like it must have been an overwhelmingly incredible experience to have been at that game. That's awesome to hear.
Oh, it was. It was. Nothing has compared since. You know, Barry versus Emmett, you know, and we just blew them out. And, you know, it was 38-6. I mean, we just, you know, of course, we were disappointed the following week, but that day, that was one special day at the Silver Dome. But I'll tell you something else that was really cool about the Silver Dome. They didn't have a lot of security back in those days. And some of the players would actually come out after the game and tailgate. And, you know, I recall seeing Jerry Ball and William White after the game. You know, one of them has a Bronco or a Blazer. They go out to their car, drop the tailgate, open up a cooler and drink a beer. You know, that was cool because people are just walking by. They don't even know who they are, right? So that's a real fond off the field memory. You could also access the tunnel. So at the end of the game, if you wanted some autographs, you could walk right up to the players' cars and just wait for them to come out and get in their car and ask them for an autograph. Of course, that all changed. They put fences up and stuff, but those are memories that I remember. It was a lot of fun out there.
That's awesome. You know, and I remember some of that stuff myself, waiting out after games at stadiums and the players coming out. And it was a very different era back then, even Absolutely. 20 years ago. Let's circle back to something I mentioned when I introduced you. You are named the Detroit Lions Fan of the Year for 2023. Tell me a little bit about that. How did that come about?
I was totally shocked and surprised. They had contacted like four of us, and it included Megan and Ron Cracchiola, and they asked us to do a promo video pregame for the Monday night game for a beer company. So, you know, we agreed to it, and we did a little video scene at our tailgate, and then they said, "Hey, you know, we're hosting a large tailgate over at Grand Circus Park. Could you guys join us over there? We're going to bring you up on stage, and we're going to have you, you know, cheer, toast your beer." And so that's how they got us up on stage. So the four of us are up on stage, and they were just like, "Well, while we're up here, we're going to name our Fan of the Year." And I thought for sure it was going to be Megan. I was patting her on the back. I'm like, "Megan, they're going to name you Fan of the Year." And then they said my name, and I was completely shocked. I about fell off the stage.
Wow. Yeah. It sounds like you were literally blindsided by this.
Absolutely. I had no idea. Barry Sanders come up on stage, and, you know, I thought, wow, this is really cool. Barry's going to join us in this thing. And then he hands me this jersey. I was like, oh my gosh. Unbelievable. Unbelievable experience.
So being named Fan of the Year for the Detroit Lions, then what goes into this? What happens after that happens?
So each team has their Fan of the Year. So there's 32. The Lions are sending me out to the Super Bowl. And at some point during the Super Bowl, they will name the NFL Fan of the Year out of 32. I'm not certain what that means or what happens from that point, but that's what I know. But it's, you know, such an incredible honor, you know, to be recognized by the team. I have no words. It's just, you know, I'm humbled and I'm honored. I got to tell you, I don't feel any different than any other fan. You know, I wear my fandom a little different, but honestly, there are so many deserving fans out there that could have had this, you know, could have taken this too. So, you know, I just want to say to all the Lions fans out there, I know it could have been any one of you guys. And I'm going to do my best to represent you and our team, you know, to the best of my ability.
That's awesome to hear that. I love that attitude as well. And I believe that the fan of the year for the NFL is determined by online voting. I think that's what I've seen on social media. I've mentioned that people can vote for you. Is that still open? How long does that go till?
Yes, that is still open. And I think it goes all the way to February 7th, like just before the Super Bowl.
So if the Detroit Lions want to try and get you elected as the NFL fan of the year, have the representative be the Detroit Lions fandom, they should go to NFL.com and look for fan of the year contest to vote for you.
That is correct. Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
I mean, right now, what's more important is the season itself. That's really more important than me. and what a great year we're having. It brings me joy to see everyone so happy. I mean, there's been so many lean years here, man. You know, we've all lived through some terrible years. And I don't know if you've seen any of the social media, but when we clinched, I don't know if you've seen any of that media where people are just jumping around their basements and their homes, just going crazy. It's something we haven't experienced in a while, and it's a great feeling.
It sure is. I jumped up when Ifeatu Melifonwu made that interception and threw my arm in the air and yelled, "We did it." And right. I think I startled my daughter a little bit by that. And so tell me, where were you and what was your reaction when the Lions clinched?
Unfortunately, I was home watching it. I didn't make the trip. I did a lot of road trips this year, but Minnesota wasn't one of them. And I regret that decision because I really wished I would have been out there for that. But no, I was home, and I think I reacted the same way everybody else did. I was jumping around and screaming and crying, and it's just an unbelievable feeling. It's been a long time coming.
It really is. And you were there in 91. You were there in 93. And so we've had many lean years since then. Does it taste that much sweeter, that division title? Are you that much more appreciative knowing how long we've had to wait and how hard it has taken to earn it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know how to describe it. It's been so long. Yeah, it's an amazing feeling, and I'm just so happy. I'm happy for the city.
Well, take me back. Let's go back to the beginning here about what we mentioned, some other Lions fans, some maybe super fans and or just a fan who just, you know, happens to get recognized one way or another. How did you start connecting with other fans? And tell me about your experiences with that.
Well, you know, you meet a lot of people through tailgating. And I think with my group, I think it was just meant to be. We would tailgate out at the market, and we all used to tailgate in different spots. And slowly we all just kind of came together, and we've become really good friends. And I'm friends with some legendary fans, you know, the Crack Man, everybody knows him. Everybody's saying, why wasn't he fan of the year? And he's deservingly so. He absolutely should be. And the Pilgrim. And so slowly we came together, and now there's a group. Oh, there's probably 50 of us over there every week. You know, I've been fortunate and I've been blessed to be able to travel across the country and meet lots of people. And that's really what it's all about. You know, it's about fandom. It's about sportsmanship, you know, fellowship. In 2016, I was fortunate to be inducted into the Professional Football Ultimate Fan Association. And this is a group comprised of all 32 teams, you know, all across the country. So, I've met many, many, many wonderful fans through that. It's just all about camaraderie and fun and family. They become like family.
I love hearing about that fellowship aspect. I've heard that common theme, it seems, from every fan I've spoken to about this. And so how you appreciate the game itself, but you also appreciate the moments leading up to and after the game and just connecting with fellow Lions fans and even fans who aren't Lions fans, but they are fans of the game.
Absolutely. You know, we welcome anyone to our tailgate, and we've had the best times with opposing fans. And like I said, they become family. So you look forward to going on the road and spending a weekend out there with them. You know, not, I mean, the game is the culmination of the weekend, but these people become your family. And in our Lions group, I mean, we travel together. You know, we do a lot together, a lot of off-season events. The only common thread is the Detroit Lions. You know, we come from many different walks of life. We're different races. We're different religions. We're different everything. But it doesn't matter. The Lions have brought us together, and we're family.
That's awesome. And being together right now, we're witnessing something that, well, hasn't happened in 30 years, winning a division title. And the Lions are going to host a playoff game at home at Ford Field. We don't know when that's going to happen yet, but what are your thoughts leading up to that?
Bring it on. Bring it on, baby. I don't care who it is. We can beat anybody in this league.
Let me ask you, do you think the Ford Field atmosphere can rival what you talked about with that Pontiac Silverdome game back in 1991?
I absolutely do, and I think it's going to surpass that. These fans are starved, and you know, we're hungry, and we're starving, and everyone is so excited. Yes, I think this is going to rival and surpass the 91 game, and I'm excited that all my friends and all these fans are going to be able to experience that.
I got to ask you here, Robert, is there anything else you'd like to share about yourself, about being a fan of the Detroit Lions or the Lions in general that I haven't asked you about?
No, I don't think so, Matthew. I think we've covered everything well. You know, again, I'd just like to say, you know, I appreciate the Lions making me fan of the year this year. But again, I know there are a lot of deserving people out there. And we have such an amazing fan base, man. It's just incredible. You know, we're worldwide. You know, I've met people from Australia, from Germany, Sweden. Every time I go to a game, I meet somebody from other countries, man. I mean, we're all over the world. Go Lions.
Robert, thank you so much for doing this interview. Great getting to know you a little bit more. Thank you for sharing your story with the listeners, and hoping the rest of this season is just as wild of a ride as it's been so far.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Matthew. And hey, we're going to the Super Bowl this year. There's nothing stopping us. This is the year. So I'll see you all out in Vegas in February, baby. Woo!
Now, folks, I don't know when your fandom started. I've been a fan of the Detroit Lions since before I was even a teenager. I suspect many of you the same, if not earlier yet. I've rooted through the years, remembering the joys and the many heartbreaks, but always enjoyed sharing those experiences with friends and family. Here's what I found with this story. Gary, Megan, and Robert are fans of the team and of their fellow Lions fan. The positivity and welcoming attitudes they carry are contagious, and the excitement they have for the direction of this franchise is off the charts. Their kindness is obvious, and I'm thankful to have met each of them. Don't be shy if you see them at a tailgate or around the stadium. Bring an awesome attitude and join in the fun. Just don't ask for a photo while standing in line in the bathroom. If you have a favorite memory or experience, please leave it in the comment section below and share in the conversation. Please tell your friends about the show. Like and subscribe if you would be so kind. Give a high five to a fellow Lions fan, whether it's at home during a game, at the game itself, or if you are so daring, even walking through your local mire. Enjoy the rest that this special 2023 season has to offer. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.